Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today is St. John's Day, and what a blessed relief it is to get to a patronal festival after the last couple of years. There were times, I must confess, when our church doors were so closed for so long and there were cobwebs over the inside of them, and Karen and I were doing what felt like the 465th service on Zoom or on YouTube with Chris at the organ console in a freezing cold church, that I thought, these doors are never going to reopen again. I just hope and pray that as time moves on, all of our members can return to the church as they should so wish to. Well, 3 long years ago in 2019, almost indeed to the actual day, we had a wonderful celebration of the 160th anniversary of the founding of our church. It was replete with the launch of the new parish history, written by parishioner Jeff Quayle, and Professor Geoffrey Blaney launched the book. There were hundreds of people here in attendance, and much was made of our past, and we look forward to the future positively and full of hope. I look back on my sermon that I gave on that day, and amongst many observations and endorsements, I encouraged us then to look faithfully to the future, confident in the promises of Christ and encouraging us to be faithful members of his body. I'm very pleased to say that after this pandemic, we have done just that. We have been faithful and steadfast and good and kind, and we have endured. We have said our prayers and trusted in God, and we have stayed together through thick and thin, via YouTube or Zoom, with shut doors and no morning teas or meals together. We have answered the call to look after each other by phone calls and messages, by mail pew sheets and email correspondence. Many of us, as a result, made new connections in the parish and our congregation. Did everything we did during the time of those lockdowns, did we get it right? No. Could we have done things differently? Well, quite possibly. But we have come out the other side of an extraordinary time, and our beautiful church is open. There are many people in our pews, and there are new and older members with us. We remain a growing church, one where new people continue to find their home. The past few weeks alone, and indeed at the 8 o'clock service this morning, has seen several people join our church, and what a blessing it is to have them here. What of the future? Well, as I said 3 years ago, we need to continue to look to the future with confidence in Christ and in the love of God for each other. There are practical things we can do, and I will speak of those in a moment. But given that it is our patronal festival, I do think that we can gain much guidance and direction from not only Christ, of course, but also his beloved disciple John, after whom we are named. So who was this St. John? Who is our patron saint? Well, John, son of the wonderfully named Zebedee. If people want to name their children after a name in the Bible, I wish there were a few named Zebedee. Wouldn't it be wonderful in the playground? Zebedee, get down from the slide. John, son of the wonderfully named Zebedee, was one of the 12 apostles of Jesus. And together with his brother James and with Simon Peter, he formed this sort of inner circle of three amongst the 12, in that those three were privileged to see some of the most extraordinary things in Jesus' life and ministry. They were privileged to behold that miracle of the great catch of fish in Luke, the healing of Peter's mother-in-law in Mark, the raising of the daughter of Jairus in both the Gospels of Mark and Luke. They were there at the transfiguration of Jesus recorded in all of the Synoptic Gospels, and they were there with our Lord in his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, as recorded in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. St. John expressed a willingness to undergo martyrdom for his faith and is often accordingly referred to as a martyr in intention. However, we have ancient testimony that although imprisoned and exiled for his witness to the Gospel, John was eventually released and he died a natural death in Ephesus, which makes him, according to the historian James Kiefer, this wonderful phrase, a martyr in will, but not in deed. I have visited St. John's purported grave, which, like many such locations, may well be the product of good intention rather than historical fact. For example, in the 6th century, there were at least two graves of St. John in three different places in Turkey. Have a think about that. The mathematics doesn't quite add up. But what we do know is that St. John lived and he died and he was faithful. St. John is credited with the authorship of the three apostles that bear, epistles, I should say, that bear his name, and of course that extraordinary gospel. Although there is scholarly opinion that the final editing of his gospel was done by others who were close to him shortly after his death. John is supposed by many, including the Orthodox Church, to be the author of the Book of Revelation, but there remains no evidence to support this claim, and indeed much to contradict it. He is not simply our patron saint. In Christian tradition, John the Evangelist is the patron saint of love, of loyalty, of friendship, and for those of you who write, of authors. He is often depicted in art as an eagle, symbolizing the height that he rose to in the writing of his gospel. In other icons, he is shown looking up into heaven as he writes his gospel, representative of the divine revelation found in his writing. John's gospel is remarkable. It is nuanced, considered, masterfully written, rich in theology, poetic, and it owns a singular place in the canon and tradition of the church. A lovely thing to do is to simply sit and read his gospel, beginning to end, and to think on the Jesus he so obviously knew and adored. On our patronal festival, and as we look to the future, I think we can at least learn two important things from the life and ministry of dear St. John. John was both a disciple and an evangelist, and we are called to be both. To be disciples, that is, followers of Jesus, to see and believe him as our Lord and our leader, and secondly, to be evangelists ourselves, that is, to be those who share with others our faith and the practice, worship, and witness of this church that we call home. I'd like us to think about being these disciples and these evangelists over the year ahead, both individually and collectively as a parish church. How can we serve and follow Jesus? And how can we commend this Jesus to others? Having St. John, the evangelist, as a patron doesn't simply apply to how we behave outside the church, as it were. It also applies right here. We're called to be disciples in this place, following the call of Jesus to serve each other right here and right now. No one at St. John's should be a gospel passenger, but rather be offering ourselves in the service of everyone who comes here. It's not as though there's nothing to do. A whole range of ministries are available to you and in fact need to be done by you. Unlike many other churches in our diocese and more broadly, we are very fortunate. We have an enviable set of resources to help each of us be these disciples and evangelists. And we have them through great generosity and careful stewardship over decades upon decades, and through constant engagement with our community. Over the course of the pandemic, I and our parish council worked hard to closely manage our resources, all of them, physical, financial, and in people. Did we lose some of those resources over that time? Yes, like others, of course we did. But we were fortunate, through the work of our financial team especially, to steer a way through the pandemic so that as we come to this year, we can look to the future with the resources behind us, mostly to step boldly into the future. As we look to the future of our church, we have again been fortunate to be able to expand when other churches have had to do the opposite. We've been able to expand the ministry team and its offering to the church and our community. With Lydia and myself, Wendy is a terrific addition to our clergy here and brings a great set of skills and her faithfulness to the pastoral care of this church, the nurture of its spirituality, and to its worship and its preaching. Regular visits of some of our neediest parishioners and of various nursing homes in our parish is now firmly in place and being done on a constant basis. This is a great blessing indeed, and a return to what we had offered well before the pandemic. In a time when many of our churches are decreasing in their leadership and their subsequent ministry, we are blessed to expand and grow. This week we resolved to return St. John's Sunday School with a renewed commitment by our volunteers Clive and Shirley and Jane to restart this important ministry from July. So if you have children aged 3 to 12 or know someone who has and would like to have their children involved in this important part of their upbringing, look out for communication from the church in the coming weeks. If you would like to be a part of this ministry to our children, please speak with any member of the clergy again in the coming weeks. For older children, 12 plus, Lydia will be starting some training for reading and serving in church, essential ministries, and one I hope will be ably served by our younger and older members. This week too saw our annual confirmation service set for September 18, for which we already have candidates for confirmation and will include, of course, a visit from our bishop. Many of you will be excited to know and pleased to know that from today we will be serving both bread and wine at our altar, the return to the use of wine, consecrated wine, for more than 2 years in the life of our church. You will see what I hope is some helpful instruction in our pew sheet about that. There will be two chalices this morning, one for drinking from and one for intinction. It is your choice, of course. If you choose not to receive the wine from the chalice, that also is up to you. Lastly, and by no means least, we look to the future with an expectation that every member of St. John's will play their part in the life of our church. We need to do this by our prayers, by our faithfulness, by our giving of our time and our talents. We need to do this by giving of our financial resources to our church, by pledging our weekly support, by making a gift, or especially as we head toward the end of the financial year, we can make a tax-deductible donation to the music program of our church. In the last month alone, we have been fortunate to receive $15,000 of donation to the music program of our church, which is a sure sign of people's confidence and appreciation of what Christopher Cook and the choir offers us every time we worship. If you would like to do that, please just speak again with one of the clergy. Our patron saint, St. John, wrote his gospel so that all may come to believe in Jesus Christ. Our mission here is to continue that witness, that message, that life, which commends Christ to others and serves all people in his name. Be encouraged this day and the year ahead to be disciples, to be evangelists, both here and in the world. Help me and each other to be the church we want to be. Play your part, contribute, support each other, love each other, and this, your church. And as always, God bless you in all that you do and all that you are. Amen.